Welcome to Bald Move Television, the officially unofficial place for all of TV. Today, we are talking about The Witcher, the series on Netflix. Today, I'm joined by...
Ma'am, this is a podcast, not a place. Aaron.
I'm Alexis.
Aaron and Alexis. Before we get started talking about the show, I think maybe we should all talk about our own experience with the show, the games, the books. Alexis, why don't you tell us first?
In a move that will shock absolutely nobody, I have read all the books multiple times, and I have played not all the games, actually, just Witcher 3, which is the best game ever.
That's what I hear.
Yes.
I haven't read any of the books or played the game. I watched Aaron play the game a bit, though.
I didn't know anything about The Witcher, except for what I've kind of like seen on video game sites and memes and whatnot, and I thought that Henry Cavill or Cavill look kind of goofy on the Witcher poster, and I've since watched all The Witcher, and I played, I'm like, I don't know, 20% through Witcher 3, and I plan on reading the books.
Yeah, me too.
It made an impression on me.
Yeah, absolutely. You described it as being trashy fun, like True Blood and Banshee.
Yeah, I said like three episodes in, I tweeted that it's kind of trashy, good trashy fun in the vein of like True Blood or Banshee or some of those kind of action-oriented, sexy, but still has a surprisingly good backbone of characters and acting. You know, like I think this show's all over the place in some respects, but like... the central characters are all very interesting and good. I think the world building is fascinating. And Henry Cavill, I've been waiting to see him in something that I really loved for a long time because I wanted to love his Superman. He's such a beefy, you know, classically good looking dude. And he's kind of wasted in the Zack Snyder kind of depression fests. But he's just... I also tweeted like if the Geralt, I call him Geralt, if the Geralt in the video games and the books is not like Henry Cavill, then the books and the source material got the characterization wrong. And it seems like
Source material did get the characterization wrong. Absolutely. Yeah. You are not going to enjoy the books as much as you like the show if you like the show.
Really?
I will say.
It seems like, I know the author came out and said that he thinks that Henry Cavill is now the like canon Geralt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, you know, he's not wrong.
But I don't know, because it seems like it's consistent with the what I played in the video game, where it's kind of like a little tongue-in-cheek, and like he's just utterly unflappable. Like if he's... like, his affect does not change whether he's going to get in bed with a sorceress or go into battle facing almost certain death. And there's something kind of fun about a character who just doesn't give a fuck.
He's just seen so much shit. He's over it, basically.
Yeah.
Alexis, with all of the expectations, what did you think of the show?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my favorite thing of the things that I've watched to talk with you guys about. So,
but it wasn't like the books? So it's like, because sometimes as a fan, that's a problem, you know?
Right. No, it's so it took all the things that I didn't like about the books and made them better, which is why I really like it.
So there's 8 books.
Yeah.
How does that timeline go? Are the books like way ahead of the video game? Does the video game have anything to do with the books?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure about the first 2 games again because I haven't played them.
Okay.
And I didn't really do a lot of research about them. But the third game takes place after the books.
Okay.
And the show, or at least this first season of the show, follows the first 2 books, which are actually collections of short stories.
Oh.
They aren't novels in the traditional sense.
Which is kind of the way that the first season
all over the place.
Yeah.
But it did, it kind of suited the, like, I felt like there's definitely a narrative thread throwing, but part of the fun was just kind of like the monster of the episode, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that feels very much like the video game, like finding about a monster, studying its weaknesses, preparing your potions and your gear, and then going kicking his ass.
Like, yeah, it seemed like there was a monster of the week kind of vibe to it, but there was also this through storyline.
It's the binge culture ruined the monster of the week. It's monster of the hour.
Monster of the hour.
They're going to get a full week to bask in their glory. It's just monster of the minute.
Right. Do you guys want to talk about all of the episodes altogether?
Yeah.
I guess this is me saying that this is a bit of a spoiler warning.
Yeah, we're about to. So we all like the film. Do we want to talk about Before we get into spoilers, I thought maybe we should say, because I don't want to uncork people thinking that this is like Game of Thrones season 1 through 5.
Yeah.
It is, you have to be prepared for a certain amount of kind of trashy. There's also some things I'm not sure that they do in the video game or the books. I don't know how it hit me as far as like blending some modern stylings and phrases.
Yeah.
At one point, I think Yennefer says that she's been living off the grid. There's a kind of pop rock rendition of this ballad.
Yeah, almost everything that Jaskier says.
The bard.
Yeah. Is very modern way of speaking.
I would describe it as kind of a knight's tale meets a monster-ridden medieval Eastern Europe.
And it was bugging me, but I'm like, maybe this is just the show's style. Like, you know,
it's
Breaking Bad, love to throw a GoPro on like a shovel or a hood or a trunk and be like, oh, it's trunk cam, it's meth cam, it's...
Yeah.
And so, and that kind of odd cinematic flourish became its signature trademark, or one of its signature trademarks. So maybe this kind of like... You know, not taking the these and thous and verilies too, because there's a lot of that too. There's a lot of this kind of like fakey Shakespeare in the Park kind of dialogue, but then they also have these modern. So I don't know. Maybe they're going for, like you said, the Knight's Tale kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it absolutely suits the source material because it's very cheeky. Mm-hmm. It's like gritty, cheeky, tongue in cheek, you could even say a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So that's about the only thing that I can think of. I thought the casting was really well done.
Casting was really good. Maybe we can talk about that. That's not a spoiler. There's some people that are upset about some skin and hair colors changing.
Well, that's stupid. I look forward to the day where we just don't even talk about that shit anymore. But right. I do think that there's some people that had like some complaints about the CG and some of the costuming and sets and here and there, which I kind of saw too, especially in the early goings. But... this probably costs an arm and a leg to make anyway, and it's kind of like, oh, a video game franchise translation, obscure Polish folklore book series. Maybe we don't open the you know, Netflix money floodgates for it.
I kind of wonder if that's maybe one of the complaints that people are having about it not being enough like Game of Thrones, is because they don't have that ridiculous costuming budget.
Well, even Game of Thrones, like I remember when we went back, Jim and I, to watch season one, we're like, Jesus Christ, Game of Thrones wasn't Game of Thrones in season one. Especially when you see some of the original pilot footage spliced in there. It's like, woof. But
I think the only comparison to Game of Thrones that you can make is that it's a period piece.
It's fantasy.
That's literally the only
one. But they're two completely different subgenres of
they
fantasy.
Do have a lot of political. There is an odd for such a sword and sandals kind of swishy adaptation. There's a lot of politics and like different factions and. Oh my God, that's the other complaint. And I think this is just my complaint against fantasy, like my wheelbarrow theory of fantasy names, where it's like. If I get to like the third name that has an improbable amount of consonants and diacritic marks, I just like woof. I can't keep any of these characters straight. So like
so
I know Gerald
theory.
I know Gerald and I know Yennefer and I know Ciri, and there was a queen
Calanthe.
Yeah, cilantro.
These are not fantasy names though. These are just names, but in Poland. You understand that, right?
Yeah, that's okay, but still, it's a bunch of. I can't. You know, I have a hard time putting all the names, and especially like the faction names. Like, there's the Nilfgaardians and the Tamarians, and I'm like, I don't know who the bad guys were, who the good guys were. The logo that looked like the butthole is the bad guys. And when I saw that, I'm like, yes, that's I think it's a black sun.
It's a black sun, yes.
But when I saw the old chocolate starfish, I knew the empire was rolling into town. But other than that, I was a little lost. But it didn't matter. You just kind of like let it wash over you. And
yeah, everyone's beautiful, even the ugly people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hunchback. I was like, I remember like in episode 3 being like, yeah, I actually could use a sex scene with her, and then I got one.
Yeah.
So slight spoilers.
Yeah.
Are we going to use this as a springboard into super spoilers?
Yes. I think now would be the time. I think we've made our pitch for this show.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers have a chance to exercise their rights under the Patreon pact we've made by voting for the next pulp movie that Jim and I will be covering. If you're one of the elite few backers at the executive producer level, don't miss your chance to influence us. Hurry over to patreon.com/baldmove and vote in the latest movie poll before it closes on Wednesday morning.
And for all other club members, we've got an all-new episode of Lunch with Jim and Aaron this Friday afternoon. Catch the live stream at 1 p.m. to interact with us and your fellow munchers over on Patreon, or you can wait for the podcast to drop later that day.
If you want even more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
If you haven't watched it, I'm not sure what you're waiting for.
It does seem like the biggest breakout hit from Netflix since, maybe Stranger Things. Like, this is the one that people are talking about. I mean, there's The Irishman.
This is the one that kind of, like, breaks that mold of people being done talking about a bingeable show within 2 days.
Yeah, it came out. Mm-hmm. Christmas came and went. New Year's came and went. And still, there's people, we're talking about it.
Yeah, it helps that it's very memeable on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like Baby Yoda.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's a fun show. And mm-hmm. we don't get to have a lot of fun shows that are also written well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what this is.
Yeah.
People are losing their damn minds about it.
Yeah.
So, spoilers.
Yes.
The timeline of this the show is kind of all over the place. But once you get to the end, I think it makes sense mm-hmm. why they told the stories in the order that they did. But the fourth episode really threw me for a loop. I think I spent the first three quarters of it going, what the fuck is going on?
Did
pausing it, making sure
Siri?
I was right, watching the right episode.
Yeah.
That might have been the problem, is that the actress for Pavetta looked a lot like Siri.
She
like,
did look a lot like Siri, and like almost the same age. So I thought for a second, and Calanthe and her husband are still alive.
Yeah,
so I'm like, are we in
difference.
A parallel universe? Is this going to do that kind of time?
Yeah, and like Gerald and Yin are... essentially ageless, it seems like.
Yeah.
But a lot of the human characters thought they could have helped me out a little bit by aging them, and maybe they do in retrospect. But when I realized that they had done this three timeline interwoven without they do drop hints if you're paying attention. They talk about the teenage queen.
Yeah, like Calanthe. In episode one, Renfree says that Queen Calanthe just won her first battle at something or another. And then in the fourth episode, she says, I just won this battle.
Right. And I thought there was a couple clues of, but if you're just up to your eyeballs and wheelbarrows like I was a little left behind. And I was thanking God that I wasn't podcasting this, because I know there'd be a lot of, hue and cry about this timeline stuff, and does it work? And is it, because people would have sent us in feedback in the first episode and been like, yo, timelines.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where I'm glad I didn't do any reading or had to think about it too hard, because it might have annoyed me. But as it was, I'm just like, oh, okay, they did that. It kind of worked. It worked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think they did it that way, though? Because you said you kind of saw what they were going for.
Because at the end, they needed for Geralt and Ciri to be together, I think.
But they needed to introduce who Ciri was before then, otherwise it would be meaningless.
Right, exactly. And that's a lot of backstory to explain. So the best way to do it is just to show it happening to her.
To cut it in. Yeah.
Was there three? So were there actually three? Because the way I understand it is
there
like...
There are three.
So we start like...
Geralt and the Bard fucking around is like this middle period, and mm-hmm. like... The origin of Yennefer is like...
It's like 20 or 30 years before we see Geralt.
Right.
Like 20
and then,
or 30.
Then there's 10 to 12 year jump to the modern time where he meets Ciri in the woods.
Right. Well, you see Dooney, the hedgehog knight, come to the dinner or mm-hmm. the feast or whatever. So he collects on his law of surprise reward, which mm-hmm. is Pavetta. So... They have to have time to get together and make a baby. So I don't know how much time they were together before they had Siri. And then
Hedgehog's
Siri's
gestating
like,
like 6 weeks. No problem.
She was already pregnant.
Oh, she was? Thing.
Yeah, that was why. So Geralt kind of joking. Or, God, you got me doing
oh, you're
it
right.
now. Thank
she threw
you.
Up at the feast.
Geralt, yeah, was like, oh, law of surprise, thinking it was going to be nothing. Like maybe he'd get a dog out of it or something. It ended up being a fucking baby.
A baby. So
we learned that in that scene. Yeah.
Can we talk about this law of surprise?
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
It's just a thing you have to accept and move on.
Well, I mean, because I actually
I don't
did
know if
some
it has
reading
historical
on
basis,
it.
Does it? Okay.
Apparently, no, I don't know if it has any real life basis, but apparently the way it works is like, it's kind of like almost, it's kind of like a legally binding, don't worry about it, with
right,
the quote
exactly.
that like, if the set of conditions that you have received something, a gift or something that you didn't know about, then it belongs to the person.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking like, okay, that's interesting, but I was thinking in ancient times, like.
So if you agree to this law of surprise, how mm-hmm. it goes is that. You've done a favor for someone, and that just means that anything that they get in the future, any like
no, it's something they already have to have but not know about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like most of the time, it just fizzles. It's like, oh, law of surprise. Well, I haven't gotten anything. I didn't know anything about it. So, but like I was thinking about, in terms of kind of like medieval periods, 9 times out of 10, it probably going to fizzles. But that 1 time out of 10, 99 out of 100 has got to be a kid, right? Like, there's no lotteries back then.
It's
there's,
either corn or a kid.
Yeah, it's either going to be a bumper crop or yeah,
interesting.
Or a
because
kid.
It wouldn't be corn.
Yeah. So it's like, man,
so it's possible to get nothing.
Most of the time, I think it's understood that the law of surprise is kind of like, you know, you don't get anything.
Hmm.
But boy, when you do, you get a princess.
I miss the times when, you know, people were material goods that could be acquired.
Right. Sure. Oh, those times haven't gone away.
Yeah. So Geralt got himself a baby that he's mm-hmm. not going to marry. I don't think.
No.
Dooney chose to marry his surprise baby. Did we ever find out why he had a curse put on him?
The hedgehog guy?
Yeah.
They don't say it in the show, no.
Okay.
But they also don't say, and this is from the book, that he is only a hedgehog during the day.
Oh.
He's full man at night.
Ooh,
really?
So maybe she didn't fuck a hedgehog man.
Oh, that's because you're right when you said she's already pregnant. I'm like, wow, she got it on with Monster Man, huh? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I mean, prickly, sure.
Yeah.
So right, that's a weird, it's like parts. A reverse, it's like a day wolf, you know, day, you know, like your hedgehog mm-hmm. by day, just regular dude at night.
That's good. I guess maybe we should talk about Yennefer's storyline a little bit.
Mm-hmm. The ableist elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite part. Like, I really enjoyed her, trying to figure out who was the good person trying to, like, you know, pull and tug on her soul, and who was the bad person. It seems like no one was really good or bad. They were just trying to, like, play the game of sorcerers to their own ends. And
right, there's just, like Geralt said, there's no lesser evil. I feel like, well, for one, if we're gonna talk about how she looks really good with the purple contacts,
mm-hmm.
in a way that they should have done in Game of Thrones.
No, it instantly made me think of all the, like, oh, it's impossible to act through contacts, and oh, CGI eyes would look really bizarre. And I'm like, the whole time I was watching that, I remember those interviews echoing in my ears, like, well, I don't know, maybe contact lens technology is really advanced in the last 8-9 years, but
yeah, Geralt's were a little jarring. But, and I think
it's supposed to be like in a video game, he's got full on cat eyes.
Yeah, he's supposed to have cat eyes.
So it's, I think you're supposed to, like, see that guy and be like, he's a fucking mutant. Kill
yeah,
him.
Yeah, that's why people are so terrible to him.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
They're part of why.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I was kind of fluctuating on whether or not I like this teacher, Tessa DeVries, I think it is.
Tessa DeVries
University.
DeVries, yep.
Tesseract.
yeah, I think we had this conversation multiple times while we were watching the show, but you know, she's teaching her a valuable skill against her will. She did buy her for 4 units of money, whatever that is, in that time.
4 piglets.
4 piglets.
4 unsucked piglets, I think is the
No
the
way.
Polish,
it's way,
authentic
it's way
Polish
too much
bird.
Money.
What?
It's way too much.
Jennifer has this really unique ability of being unwanted and put upon by everyone she meets, including her own family, mm-hmm. but still very confident. You know, she travels to meet this, oh, I don't know what his name is. The guy in the cave that she meets, that she keeps coming back to.
Yeah.
And the they one... have a carry on a sexual relationship while she's still...
in the hunchback mode.
Yeah, in her pre-mage.
Uh-huh. Before she gets remade.
Yeah.
Istrid is his name.
Istrid, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this, like, yeah, it's like I gave up trying to figure out good versus bad when, like, because I thought the woman wizard was the good one, and then she turned all of the students except for Yennefer
and
the
eels. Yeah.
That, like, are the battery that powers the wizard fortress,
it's like,
I think.
Fucked up Hogwarts. I love it.
Do they know? None of them know about the ascension until. Exactly. Are they still sentient fish when they're down there? Do they live forever? Do you know? Yeah, no, okay.
This isn't in the books.
All right.
So
okay. I was looking at the lore master and you're like, I got nothing, you know?
Yes,
and also,
to all.
There's someone who tweeted, it's like, I love how they had dedicated, like, eel brooms. Like, there's, yeah. there's yes. like a, there's like an eel rake. It's like, here's your eel rake. Start raking the eels. You know, it's like, can the eels not wriggle their way into the pond? Can you not just kind of give them a nudge?
They'll bite
foot?
You if you touch them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not dignified enough.
Yeah. You have to
nudge
the eel.
Freshly
yeah.
transformed.
Just
yeah,
kick it in.
Mate.
Yeah.
Just roll the eel down the side.
Plus, God, I saw what happened when you try to catch lightning in a bottle. You try to touch a bare ass wizard eel. You're going to get vaporized.
Yeah.
Okay, how strong you are.
But I think, you know, she in the end comes around and works together with Tisaya.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It seems like she's like, it does seem like they banded together to fight the Empire.
Yeah.
The butthole people. But she definitely seems like she's her own, like she, it's all about Yennefer.
Yeah.
Like she wants to acquire power and kind of be untouchable and have her own, you know, I like the energy she brought in her relationship with Gerald. Actually, everybody she met.
Yeah.
She does a great job. I think they did a great job not rewriting, but kind of explaining the character better.
Yeah, like they're that time where they're trying to bind a genie, and mm-hmm. you know, Gerald's like, "What do you want?" And she's like, "Everything." I'm like, good. "Yes, yes, I like that."
There's
like
somebody, that. Yeah, she's the best feminist character because she's just really takes
she's
him
a
to
female
task.
Palpatine,
she's like, of course, yeah.
She just wants absolute power,
but they
and
still
she wants
make
to throw
her.
Lightning.
But somehow she's still so charismatic.
Oh right. Yeah. Hey, I mean, you can say a lot of things about Palpatine, but he's definitely got some crazy warlock charisma going. I mean, he's always cackling, having a good time.
Yeah,
Palpatine. Whether he's getting thrown down a reactor shaft or electrocuting.
And we
his
know Palpatine fucks now, so.
Palpatine fucks as a monster man.
As a monster man.
Him and the hedgehog give each other some bro dap for that, you know? Like pulling down the trim with this? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so in that scene with the djinn, Geralt binds his fate to hers. So still finds a way to man it up. And that I think that's the reason why they keep running back into each other over the years.
So I have a, is that going to be like a big hook in the future story? Because I feel like they're making a lot of hay with Yennefer assuming that Gerald did some kind of Gerald's game binding fates to her or whatever that she doesn't like, and yet they very intentionally did not show us what he said, what his actual wish was.
Right.
So it's like, I'm wondering if he wished something kind of benign and he's doing that brooding guy of like, well, I'm not going to correct you with correct information or something.
I know the answer and I'm not telling you.
Thank you.
I
just want you to know that I know.
Is it though, like kind of like a mystery, intentional mystery, or
yeah.
are you supposed to? Okay.
It's
yeah,
intentional.
I was right. doing some reading about it, and they're saying that, like, no, this happens in the games, the books, and the show,
oh,
and
wow.
nobody really knows exactly.
The confluence of the sources.
Yeah. So it seems like it's an important thing that it would show up in all of those places,
yeah.
but also that it had to be something that saved her life because it didn't kill her, and I guess a djinn can't kill its master. So
yeah,
if
like
their fates were bound together, then the djinn would have no choice but to just leave.
That's what I understood, because I saw some people discussing it, and it seemed like the... Maybe it's still a mystery. Well, you said you know the answer, but... like you know, when you're doing wishes with genie, there's a strong monkey's paw potential, so you have to be careful
yeah.
about phrasing it. And the moment he kind of came up with that to save her and him from the djinn.
Yeah.
But now they're like stuck together. I don't know.
Right. Isn't he talking about how much he hated Yaskier's voice right before he lost his voice?
He almost killed him.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Broke his windpipe or something. But yeah, I guess I think that's something that Yennefer struggles with, is that she doesn't know if her feelings for Geralt are real or if they're just, it was just a djinn's wish.
And her whole thing is about having her own agency, her own control over every aspect of her own life.
Right.
So having that be a question mark, I can absolutely understand why she took off.
Especially since in reality, her feelings for Geralt are just a complex series of electrical chemical impulses in the brain. So, like, wait till Morpheus gets in there. It really blows her mind.
People say Jim's the robot. All right.
Yeah, so she's on this mad quest to get a baby, no matter what the cost is. And who even knows if she wants a baby or she'd make a good mother.
Yeah, that's
wants it because she can't have it.
I wondered if that's what it was, like the everything, because nothing about Yennefer's presentation made me think that she would want or need to be a mother.
Well, she says in one of the last episodes, that she just wants the choice back. She doesn't have the choice, and she's pissed off about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, makes that sense. Falls under everything, and she wants it, so I'm on board with that.
I feel like the mages, the wizards, the witches, whatever we call them.
Sorcerers and witches.
Yeah.
Yep.
They have to be, is their only employment to be in servitude of some kingdoms to...
I think it's the other way around. Like, they're the puppet masters.
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah.
And the kingdoms only serve to kind of further their weird, inscrutable ends.
That's what we see, that very first scene where, you know, Yennefer has done her transformation. She comes into the room. That meeting with all the, you know, kings and dignitaries and stuff, and also the witches and the sorcerers, that's them picking who they're going to fuck with for the next 20 years, basically.
Huh. And like the one girl that got sent to the Butthole Empire, she was kind of like mamby-pamby, not a strong-willed, and they wanted Yennefer to go there so she can kind of bring that kingdom to heal, and she decided to go to the Sunshine, the good kingdom.
She went back to her home where she came from.
Is that what? I don't know why she would want to.
I don't know. Adern or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't.
Adern is the kingdom that she goes to.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why she wanted so strongly to go there. Is there an answer to that? Like, why did she care about which kingdom she got assigned to?
Dude who was ruling Nilfgaard at the time was very handsy.
It's actually Nilfgaard?
It's Nilfgaard.
Okay. That's kind of like almost. Okay, anyway.
Nilfgaard.
I'm going to get a whole bunch of email from those Polish people living in Nilfgaard. It's a perfectly fine town name, damn it.
Yeah, I think it might be loosely analogous to Germany. I'm not sure, though.
Oh, really?
Or no, Russia, sorry.
Ah.
No, Germany is...
Is that so, like, are these supposed to be all kind of analogous to Eastern European countries, kind of?
Loosely. Okay. Like, Centra, I'm pretty sure, is Poland.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that. That's not something I double checked.
It's
before
recorded.
I got
I'm sending it out. You're quoted.
God damn it.
So yeah, I'm not sure. So you said that the kingdom she was supposed to serve.
Yeah, the king she was supposed to serve, emperor, whatever. He was super handsy with his witches, and she just was not interested in it.
See, that's where I got confused about where the power really lays.
And they were more strict.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. I love the scene of her escaping this assassin that was chasing her and the woman
the
who
portal
couldn't...
chase.
Yeah.
That was all written for the show.
Yeah, she goes through a couple of them and decides just to leave the woman behind at one point. It's so funny.
I think she went to, because we've seen her eat flowers for power before, right?
Uh-huh.
So she lands on this big flowery hill. Uh-huh. I think maybe she was juicing up before she came back. She wasn't just straight abandoning her. She was trying to juice up her magic beans.
Yeah, they made it pretty clear.
Was a ungrateful winch anyway.
Yeah,
she like was, the whole like you're, well, I forget like as she was saving her life, she's like, "You're just a useless witch." Or
yeah,
like okay, well, I'll take the baby. And then how did the baby end up? Oh, because they materialized in the middle of an ocean and it just drowned.
No, I think it got shot. I think
so. Yennefer was holding her as she was going through the portal, and the thing or the guy threw a blade through her, and it hit the baby.
Oh yeah, went through Yennefer.
Okay. I thought maybe it just drowned. Because, you know, baby's not great at holding
their
breath
or
swimming.
Yeah.
No, they suck at swimming.
And not crying.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's where we kind of leave her. Let's talk about Ciri.
Okay.
Ciri, it felt like for a few of the opening or the beginning episodes, before we really knew what was going on, it felt like kind of spinning our wheels.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of like, oh, we can't tell her, we should tell her, we can't tell her, no one tells her.
Well, and then like when they went to the elf women and the forest sprites or whatever they're supposed
dryads.
To be, the dryads.
Yeah, they're not all elves, but.
I felt like when the shapeshifter came to get Ciri, like I kept on waiting for the mother superior of the druids to or dryads to be like, got this test. It's called drinking the water.
Right. It was right
drink
there.
The fucking water, dude. Like, she's kind of like, I don't know. We'll have to leave it up to the fates. I'm like, chug the water. Chug the... Like, why didn't she chug the... Why did she make him drink the water?
Maybe that was their destiny to have gone that way.
I don't know. It seems like she was really like, oh, this is on the edge of a knife blade kind of thing. And like, you know, make him drink the water.
This is another thing that was written for the show and that's not in the books. They just needed to get Ciri out of the forest.
Yeah, because it seemed like she would be... But because like it felt like the women were like gearing up for like, well, you know, like we're very powerful, but I don't know if we can resist all of Niflgaard and the Niflgaard guards.
In the book, it's actually Geralt who gets her out of the away from the dryads.
But they, they couldn't have that because then they would get hooked together too soon in the narrative of the.
Well, that's
show.
The thing. He meets her once, and then he gives her back to
in the
book.
Yeah,
and he gives her back to his her sorcerer
Mouse
guy.
Mousecrap.
Yeah, it's Ermine.
I that scene of like her playing with the kids in the street and the callback to him like looking around the corner knowing it's her but leaving anyway.
Yeah, that was fun because I was with it. I was enough. I was synced up with the timeline enough to be like, I know this was the beginning of
And then in the very end they do this thing where she goes out of the house and runs away, and then Geralt pulls up in the cart and you're like, just missed each other. And then he gets up and runs into the forest. That felt kind of silly to me.
Yeah.
In
retrospect. They need to go to Craigslist and do the misconnection.
I was just about to say, this whole misconnection thing that they have, it continues through the whole series.
Really?
Like, they're together for a long time now. There's a chunk of that coming.
Interesting.
Me, a golden-eyed white wolf.
Then she runs away again.
You, escaped princess. Rode up on a hay cart, saw you dart into the woods. If you felt a connection, if you felt your Witcher emblem throb, then email me.
Calanthe, when I was rewatching some of these episodes, Calanthe mentions in the very first one that the Wild Hunt is years beyond the curve. And we've been playing the Wild Hunt video game.
I'm in the midst of the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see how that plays out.
And I'm familiar with the Wild Hunt lore because I'm big into the Dresden Files, and Jim Butcher, the author, he likes to like pull from the lesser known mythology to like, you know, flesh out his world. And there's been like, you know, featured the Wild Hunt, and there's a lot of like I got exposed to Baba Yaga before John Wick through his work. Like, that's a very like Eastern European witch legend.
Yeah, there was this like horned I don't know what kind of monster it was that I recognize seeing from the movie The Ritual that came out a few years ago.
Oh, the forest fiend that I've had to fight.
So
the Wild Hunt is different than in folklore in the series.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, like I don't know if it's a spoiler for me to say.
Oh, okay.
For you.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, if you read too much Grimm's Brothers fairy tales, it could be a possible spoiler for The Witcher.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's different. They call it the Wild Hunt, but it's not.
What's the purpose of the Wild Hunt?
The beings that comprise the Wild Hunt are not the same as in folklore.
Mm. Gotcha.
Do they just choose to every once in a while come down and hunt people, witches, powerful people? They feel a presence and they're of an exceptionally strong elder person like Ciri, and they come and chase her. What is the purpose of it? Is that a spoiler to say?
Possibly.
So Ciri is special because she's a quarter elf. Wait, no. Yennefer's a quarter elf.
Yeah.
And Ciri's half elf?
No. It's way more complicated than that.
We're not supposed to know, but she's got that screaming power.
But
it
is a blood thing.
Mother.
It's a heritage thing for sure.
Yeah, and that's just something I guess Queen Calanthe's mother had too, because she's talking about like it skipped a generation.
Her. And, yeah.
And then strike twice in the same bloodline.
It could be hedgehog powers that makes her scream that way.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just at night.
It's that sonic juice.
Wait till she gets the Chaos Emerald dinner. then, only then. That's those ancient Polish folklore about the Chaos Emeralds.
Yeah.
Got to study about that.
I thought the fight scenes in this show were really well done. Maybe this, specifically this Renfri and Geralt fight scene in the very beginning.
That was the best choreography for sure.
Yes. I mean, it was like those people were actually doing the work. They didn't rely on like shaky cam or
really long takes too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you could actually see what was happening.
Yeah. I was watching, I thought it was, you know, really dynamic and interesting, and it made Geralt look like a big badass.
The swords actually looked heavy.
Yeah.
For a change, which is nice.
Like, people are being inflicted with these very believable non-fatal wounds, like when he brings the sword down on her and it cuts into her shoulder and she gets a little stab in.
Yeah.
I
really liked the fight between, was it a botchling? Or was it the
Striga.
The Striga, that's right. I really liked the fight where he had to end up sealing himself in a coffin at the end of it. Like, because, like, they set up the whole, like, the way that thing was all set up, and then he realizes, like, I'm going to have to fight this fucking thing all night long.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought that was great, and it was really good blending of, like, the set and the blue screen and the CGI compositing. It's just, like, really, like, whereas a little bit shaky in that first fight with the spider thing he went against. I thought it was just rock solid in that fight, and it was... That's the best. I think you're right. The fight between Geralt and who?
Renfri.
Renfield is the best like human fight, but the best monster fight was the Strig. You said Strig.
Striga.
Striga. Striga. Striga.
So I did see on Twitter the guy who played. He's a pretty prolific. What do you call it? Stunt choreographer or action choreographer?
Yeah.
The guy who played the Night King on Game of Thrones.
Oh right.
Was the guy who did choreography for a lot of these scenes. In the show, but specifically the Striga one.
Well, he'd been working on a Jon Snow versus Night King fight for years and years, and he had just had that whole notebook unused, so he's like, Witcher, let's use it all in episode one.
I mean, it's incredible to see them do, like, the choreography and the stunt work through all, like, the blue boxes and things. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Find him on Twitter if you're interested in some of that behind-the-scenes stuff. But the other... So I want to talk about Renfri. She was really important in the first episode. She knew about Geralt's destiny with Ciri because those were her dying words. He took her brooch off of her and forged it to a sword. I don't know if you noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
He forged it onto like the handle of his sword.
No, I did not notice that, or I didn't remember it.
So it makes his sword look like it's very happy.
Yeah, it looks like we'll look it up.
Oh,
later.
No, I did see. Yeah, I saw the meme of Geralt with that, like, you know, so Geralt's got the frowny face and the sword's like, you know.
So yeah, that's the brooch.
Okay.
I guess I'm confused about what her importance was. Was she the first one to make him aware that he had this destiny with Ciri?
She was a monster of the week.
She was the monster.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of like Stregobor trying to convince him to kill her, and it's like, who's the good person here? Who's lying?
Again, I don't think there was a good. There's the concept of good and bad, because that's the thing. Like, I was reading the lore of in playing the game, The Witcher 3, the Nilfgaard, and it seems like they're very imperialistic, but in contrast to the rest of, like, these kingdoms that oppress the dwarf and elvish populations and kind of drive them out of their own lands, it seems like that empire is much more high-minded and allows... First of all, they don't work for the mages. The mages work for them, goddammit. And two, they're like, they allow, you know, the elves and dwarves, you know, full rights as citizens, and they hold very influential positions. So it's kind of like... The only reason I think Geralt and Yennefer don't like the Empire is because they probably are kind of like more controlling on the magical side. But it seems like if you're just a common person, it might not be bad to live in the Empire. Is that like something I'm supposed to get?
Yeah, nobody is purely good or bad. And the rulers and the people that they are ruling are very different.
Yeah.
Just kind of like how it is.
Yeah.
Like in the real world.
Yeah, there's no... I like that there is a lot of moral ambiguity in this series. It's one of the things that I always liked about it.
So is Ciri the person that Stregobor was trying to kill when he had him, Geralt, kill Renfri? Was she the one that was born under the eclipse?
No.
No, Renfri and the one Stegosaurus guy had had some kind of like old grudge. I honestly don't understand what the beef was there.
There, it was just, he got this thing in his head, because he's a sorcerer, so he knows everything. So he got this thing in his head that these girls who were born under the eclipse were going to be like super evil and tear apart the world. So he started just killing them as babies. Mm. But Renfri got away. She was his last thing
but
that
she,
he needed
but
to
she
complete
wanted
that
to
quest.
Kill him too. Like it was a kind of
a because she knew.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. She knew what had happened.
So why didn't she just roll into his domain and kill him? Like is she not cannot she not do that?
He
like
was protecting himself. He was hiding for a long time.
But he's more powerful than her, right? Mm-hmm. I'd imagine. So like it seemed like it was a weird stalemate to have in this
little
town.
Well, he still thinks that she's something special.
But she's not at all.
She must be at least a little bit to be spouting prophecy when she dies.
That's
true. She's got some kind of magic power.
But she
kind of
bewitched. Like, I got the idea that, like, those men at the... Because that's the other thing, as I thought, was kind of weird. Like, all the guys talking mad shit to Geralt every time he walked into every fucking town.
She's
like, don't... Like, this guy's got two fucking swords strapped to his back. You got zero swords strapped to your back, and you're talking shit to this guy with yellow fucking eyes.
And magic powers.
And he's got thighs as big around as your fucking waist. Like, what the... But like that's kind of like in the video game all the time. People talking mad shit to me.
Yeah, it's fucking Witcher propaganda.
Yeah.
Or anti-Witcher propaganda.
Yeah, it's like, man, unless you actively want me to kill a monster, you're just going to be like literally spitting on me.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, I guess that's where my confusion was, you know, as far as like who has the power, the mages or the kingdoms, because it seemed like they were all just kind of suppressing themselves to be around these people, to be accepted by them when they could just kill them all.
You know, it might be that thing of like, you know, like you're super powerful, but you're also just a human. So like if like all million people in the continent banded to get against you, you'd be dead. So like you gotta wear that power lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we saw an army take out.
Yeah.
Basically
all
half
of the
a coven
mages,
of
yeah.
sorcerers. Yep.
Yeah. I'm super curious to see because we saw Yennefer's transformation into, you know, something more beautiful or something more. I don't know how to describe it.
Conventionally
without sounding
attractive.
Ableist. Yeah, it was conventionally attractive, something like that, where it seems like Geralt underwent some sort of process that gave him a lot of these scars.
The trial of the grasses. Not the scars so much, but the eyes and the hair, definitely.
The eyes and the hair. I thought some of that facial scarring was part of, like...
Facial scar? He has a facial... I thought that's the one thing that... Like, his body was sort of chewed up, but they kept his pretty face pretty.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Ciri, I think.
Oh.
Ciri gets a scar.
Yeah. Ciri gets a scar as a result of ritual? No. Mm-hmm. All right. Has nothing to do with it. He just fights a lot of monsters.
It seems like
the white hair isn't indicative of being a witcher because we meet one other witcher that has black hair.
No, he just happened to get white hair.
Okay. I guess it's like because he got like super potion or something. Like he got like more because he was stronger. They gave him like an extra dose of the Witcher treatment. Because
really?
This is very Warhammer, Halo kind of like let's abduct a bunch of young kids and we're going to go through this brutal process and like half of them are going to die. But the ones that make it,
the law
holy
of surprise
shit.
Factors into that a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Witcher. The Witcher.
Oh, they're always like
society if, was. Yeah, they're always asking for the law of surprise.
So how did the Witchers get? Because I feel like that the lore is all the Witcher schools have been destroyed at this point. How did that happen? How do you take out a Witcher school? I guess it's the same way you take out an enclave of sorcerers, just with mass manpower.
Yep, just die off. Stop giving them resources. Stop paying them. So
that's
they die
true.
Off.
Yeah. Hard to get your witch on if you don't got no potions.
Yeah.
It's true.
We haven't talked about Jaskier. How do you say his name? I know you know.
Jaskier. He's Dandelion in the books, in the English translation of the books. It's great. They kept the Polish name for the show. I appreciate that.
So is that literally mean Dandelion in Polish? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. This is the one thing I'm not too sure about.
I hate this character.
But everyone, all the fans, like, they're going berserk about this.
I mean,
valley.
The song is so, I think it's so earwormy.
I think it's the thing that Americanizes the show the most. So a lot of people might not be so into that, which...
I don't know. It seems like the Witcher fan base has fully embraced the bard character in the songs. And that is the one thing is like, I felt like So this has got a lot of like True Blood energy, but it's also got a lot of Xena, Hercules legendary journey.
Slightly
and I feel
schlocky.
Like when Jasker shows up, it gets very Hercules. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I what was that brother? Sam Raimi's brother had a stupid character on, I think, Hercules, or maybe it was like it's like just like a comic relief.
The tag-along character. Tag-along
comic relief character that chiefly serves to get himself in jeopardy because you really can't hurt Gerald, so like you can hurt and peril him, and like I felt like the everything kind of got bogged down when he showed up, but I feel like that's a minority opinion when I was looking at the internet. Like everybody's fucking unironically loving this throw a coin to your Witcher business.
Yeah, when he showed up that one time and then he left him behind at the end and the first episode that he meets him. And then the very next episode, it's however many, 10, 12, 15 years later, and they meet up again and he drags him to Calanthe's feast because he's got affection for the poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
For reasons. Also, the other thing, Gerald in a bathtub happens all the fucking time in the video. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just kind of like a meme to get Henry Cavill's body out on display, which
enough. Dude takes a lot of baths.
He takes a lot of baths in a video game. There's a lot of video game based or bath based video game action in The Witcher.
It's true. He gets dirty. He's out there killing monsters and crawling through sewers and shit.
I'm like 20% of his game. I think I've been in a tub six times.
I like that everyone's afraid of The Witcher except when he gets in a bathtub. And then there's just tons of women coming out to bathe him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think people aren't appropriately afraid of The Witcher.
Yeah.
Like, if, like, you know, it's the one thing to, like, shy your children away or, like, shut shutters when he comes in. But, like, hawking loogies at The Witcher just doesn't seem like it's good for your health.
It's, not a good idea. But, we got this Toss a Coin to Your Witcher song, which is just perma stuck in my head.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, I hate it, but I do find myself singing it and bastardizing it, and it's really fun to just toss various things at Witchers.
Yeah.
And...
Mm-hmm. Oh, the memes. The memes have been good the last few weeks.
Memes have been very good.
Yeah. I do think it was funny because, like, I was reading this article, like, with an interview with Henry, and he was talking about how for all of his tub scenes that he had, like, dehydrated himself for 3 days. I got to say.
What's the point of that?
Well, the thing is like, I associate, like, because I've heard the same thing from Hugh Jackman when he's playing Wolverine. He's like, whenever I get, like, a shirt off Wolverine, I got to, like, starve myself and dehydrate for, like, 3 days so I get that veiny ripped. I'm like, I've never actually seen Henry Cavill, like, that veiny and shredded and ripped. He's, like, thick slabs of muscle built, like Russell Crowe and Gladiator.
He's
like,
beefy.
He doesn't have super definition. Right. Just, like, that's a dude you don't want to fuck with because he's just, like, solidly built.
He looks strong.
But he's still like, like I didn't think he was exactly ripped and shredded like a bowl of wheat, you know. he's definitely a big, sexy dude, but I think you can just, you don't have to dehydrate yourself next season.
That's what I'm talking about, his workout routine. He said this was the best, what he was doing for this was the best thing he's ever tried, and he's in the best shape of his life.
I believe it. Like, he looks incredible. It's he doesn't look Hugh Jackman.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably healthier.
Yeah. But he's still like, so I was like, I don't know, maybe he's got a giant beard gut.
Like,
at 3 days, just evaporates the whole thing. He spends 3 days in the sauna, he comes out.
Well, he spent so much time in the bath that he reabsorbed all the water he tried to lose.
That was the 17th take, and it just all, you know, he's like SpongeBob.
Yeah. I think that's all I've got for my notes. You guys have anything else you wanted to talk about? Maybe this big battle at the end. With all of the mages.
I love this big battle at the end because, again, in the book, it's kind of mentioned in passing. What we see is Geralt going through this town, and there's a monument that's been erected to all these witches and sorcerers who died. And on that monument, the names Triss and Yennefer are also there.
Interesting. I was excited because I, like, the whole time I've been waiting to see, like, Yennefer uncorked because, like, they keep teasing, like, how powerful she is and whatnot. So when she goes on to Pride Rock and incinerates the army,
I'm like,
it's, like, fucking cool. I like that. And
they brought it full circle to her catching the lightning in her own body as the bottle and then expelling it. Yeah,
and
it's great.
I thought that, like, it was impressive because, like, when you do shit like that, it's like you are setting people's expectations for everything to be bigger and more impressive for seasons to come. And it's like, man, it gets hard. Like, that's the same thing Game of Thrones kind of found themselves into. It gets hard to, like, keep topping yourselves and topping yourselves, and like
it's the anime problem. Yeah, it's fucking Dragon Ball Z all over again.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I hope they've. I don't know. I'm wondering how like long, what kind of longevity it will have. Like, is this is going to be like a tight 3-season arc, or is this going to be like as long as it keeps making money kind of thing, or? Because if it's just a 3 or 4 season arc, I'm not as concerned. Where if it's like, I hear that it's got like 12 books and 3 video games and, a, you know, I don't know what all. And like, I could see that being a long term series, kind of like The Walking Dead. Like when you have 200 issues to draw from, you know, like the temptation to just make this go on and on and on and on until it sucks is pretty strong. Yeah,
the books don't have a definite ending.
Really?
They end in series still. She's like 16, I think.
Are they done, though? Mm. Is he done writing them? Or is it one of the
things? I think he's done writing them.
Oh, okay.
He said he likes where he left it, which is kind of a big question mark.
So there's a definite ending, which I like.
There's a satisfactory ending, but there is also room to extend if they want to.
All right.
That's what they did with Witcher 3. That's not in a book anywhere.
Witcher 3 is not in the books at all?
No, really? The training of... And spoiler, Ciri is going to be trained to be a Witcher. The training of Ciri as a Witcher is in the books.
Uh-huh.
But
like the post,
as far as the other, like the stuff with the bear and the stuff.
So all of the Witcher 3 takes place after the books.
Yeah.
Period. Ah, mm-hmm. Interesting. All right.
So you clearly can extend the story if you choose to. Although at the end of one of the DLCs, the last one, he does. Geralt kind of looks at the camera and says, "I think I'm done."
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
Oh man.
And the game ends. It's wonderful.
Interesting.
Now, I'm never going to play through The Witcher 3. I'm having a lot of fun with that, and I need a new fantasy book series to read because they're not making any more Song of Ice and Fire apparently, and I kind of crapped out with the Warhammer stuff I was reading. So I think I'm ready for something new.
Mm-hmm. Don't know. I don't know if you'll like it. The characters are very different. They're just much more flat and problematic.
Huh.
Yaskier is a fucking womanizer, and he's terrible.
Oh.
In the book, that scene, or the episode where they're hunting down the dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody is so awful to Yennefer, to the point, except for maybe Geralt, to the point that she ends up tied up with her tits hanging out as a sacrifice for the dragon.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow. So, like, that's the level of maybe not so great that the books achieve.
When were these books written? Uh-huh.
If you're cool with that, there's also like 200% more rape. So if you're down with that, maybe
I like the fact that they're all kind of short stories too, where you can be like, that's not one so great, but oh, I really like that one. You know, it's like a collection of short stories are kind of fun.
First two books are like that. Yeah, the rest of them are a little bit more linear. But
I'm excited to check out the books.
Yeah, toss a coin to your Witcher.
Toss a coin to your Witcher.
You'll need a bigger budget for next season.
All right, well, thanks for joining us. If you have any feedback or recommendations for fantasy book series, you can send those to tv@baldmove.com.
Tell me all your Witcher builds, because there's like literally 140 million options I can do with this guy, and I've got 7 ability points burning a hole in my pocket, and I'm paralyzed with decision paralysis.
Yeah, I would pick like the 2 or 3 of the coolest sounding ones and just carry those all the way through there.
Gotcha.
To their ending.
I'm specializing in light attacks, and I stumbled across gourmet, which completely I was talking about, like, how do you heal? Like, I can't eat enough bread to keep
tonics
like,
and stuff. Yeah.
Gourmet is just kind of completely tonics made the healing aspect no longer.
So you can cook?
Exactly.
No, I just like it.
You get more.
The ability just allows you, like, eating a food, like, restores your health for like 5 seconds. Gourmet makes it work for 20 minutes.
Ooh. Yeah.
So you can really stretch out that honeycomb, that bottle of water. That Dasani bottle of water can heal you for 20 minutes.
All right. Perfect.
All right. That's it. We're running on fumes here.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Cecily.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Alexis.
Toss a coin to your Witcher. Oh, Valley of Plenty. Oh, Valley of Plenty. Oh, ho, ho. Toss a coin to your Witcher, O Valley of Plenty.